Karen, could you tell me a little bit about yourself first? What sort of area of research are you working on?
I'm a maternal child health nurse, clinically trained as a nurse and a midwife, and have worked in neonatal intensive care units. My research focuses around helping mothers and fathers to help their babies grow up to be the best they can be. So I study that family environment and how to improve that to improve child developmental outcomes.
Now, this latest news about your research comes from Albert Innovates Health Solutions and Alberta Health Services, and you've been doing some really interesting work with premature babies and their families. What is it?
The study that we're working on right now that's funded by AIHS and Alberta Health Services is called Family Integrated Care, or FICARE. It's also known as FICARE. This is a study that's based on many years of past work. Some of it occurred in Ontario at Mount Sinai Hospital. And the next logical step in this progression of evidence was to do a study here in Alberta in the level 2 NICUs. With FICARE, the intent is to bring parents in to the multidisciplinary healthcare team supporting babies who are admitted to level 2 neonatal intensive care units, or NICUs, and to support them to provide care for their babies, to gain confidence, to gain competence, to be comfortable caring for their baby when that baby is healthy enough to go home.
So what do you mean by level 2 care?
So with regards to babies who are born too soon and the kinds of care that sick babies need, we have two levels of care. The sickest babies go to a level 3 neonatal intensive care unit. Our FICARE study is focusing on premature babies that are admitted to a level 2 neonatal intensive care unit. Those babies, the babies in our study, will be 32 to 36 weeks gestation. We call them moderate to late preterm. They're born 32 to 36 weeks gestation. A full-term baby would be born at 40 weeks. So they're about 4 to 8 weeks too early.
So what might be some of the problems they're facing?
Babies that are born too early are immature in terms of their organ systems. So their central nervous system, their brains, their temperature control system, their breathing systems, their guts, their ability to feed, their susceptibility to infection. They haven't had time to grow up and mature like a full-term baby. So they're more susceptible to problems with feeding, with breathing, with weight gain because their tummies aren't fully developed yet. So they have a lot of problems sometimes getting breastfeeding established. Sometimes they have infections. A lot of them are susceptible to jaundice because their livers are immature. So, you know, a lot of them just need support to grow and mature in the nurseries. And by and large, with the technology we have today in NICUs, premature babies actually turn out quite well. They do very well as they grow up. What we need to do is make sure that that family environment and that early hospital environment that they need is designed to be most supportive for them to grow and mature.
Are they in incubators?
Some of them are in incubators, and some of them need incubators to help them maintain their temperature, because this is one area that is not always mature, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Sometimes babies that are born premature don't have enough, you know, fat and a special kind of fat to keep them warm. Sometimes it has to do with their immaturity of their central nervous systems. So yes, they are often in incubators to keep them warm.
So what is the problem that you're trying to address with your research? Does it have to do with interaction with the baby?
It does. We know that in terms of how to support infants and young children to develop and grow up to be the best they can be, that we need to focus on these early relationships with parents, grandparents, and other people. And so when a baby is born too soon and has to go into a neonatal intensive care unit, parents often don't expect that to happen. They have everything carefully planned out to the point, 40 weeks, the nursery's ready, the suitcase is packed, and then all of a sudden, baby's born too soon, and this disrupts the plans. Parents aren't familiar with the technological environment in the nursery, and they feel sometimes like passive bystanders or visitors in an environment where they really want to just be a mom and dad to that baby that they've carried and are planning for and want a parent. So it disrupts their ideas, their expectations. We are doing very much better across the board in involving parents. And we know that across the province of Alberta, there are great pockets of excellence in terms of integrating parents into the care of their babies. But we always know we can do better. So with FICARE, with this study, what we're going to be doing is capitalizing on those pockets of excellence that exist. We're going to create a standardized package with strategies to deliver that excellent care across the province, and we're going to implement it and evaluate it. And that's what's different about this study, is we're going to actually systematically offer something that's manualized, that we're going to deliver with fidelity, and we're going to evaluate it. And we're going to take the best of everything that everyone is doing across this province and attest it, evaluate it.
Can you give me some examples of things that you could do during this research period that would actually be an improvement?
One of the challenges with talking about studies like this before we have results is that we're doing what we call a cluster randomized control trial. So five of the NICUs in Alberta have been allocated to deliver the FICARE intervention as designed, and five of the neonatal intensive care units will deliver standard care. They won't change anything in the care that they're already doing. So one of the risks to our study is to reveal publicly and in detail the strategies that we're going to be implementing with FICARE. So I can tell you at a high level what we intend to do. I can tell you at a high level what the outcomes are. But in terms of drilling down to specific details, that we can tell you once we have results of the study, because we don't want to risk not getting results because all the control groups implement FICARE as well. So that's one of our challenges with a cluster randomized control trial. So generally what we're doing, and many hospitals are doing this well already, is that we are going to be integrating families into the multidisciplinary healthcare team in the NICU and engaging families to provide direct hands-on care that would be routine non-medical kind of care. We still need nurses, doctors, social workers, respiratory technologists to deliver that expert medical care that babies in neonatal intensive care units still need. We are going to be providing education for parents and different kinds of supports to parents while they're in the nursery.
So you're at the beginning stages then of this study.
We are proud to announce that we have our first participant in the study as of December 17th.
And how many are you looking for, and how long will this take?
We are looking for about 600 families of infants between 32 weeks and 0 days and 34 4 weeks and 6 days, and that's a specific inclusion criteria. So about 600 families, about half in the FICARE intervention group and about half in the control groups. We are hoping that we will have all of our families in the study within 12 to 18 months. It depends on the decisions at the different sites, how quickly they want to recruit the participants that they need for their sites. So a lot of it's up to them. But that's what we're looking for.
And will you then follow these infants or these families for some time afterwards?
Yes, yes, yes. We need to know how they're doing when they go home, because indeed, and it's one thing to capture hospital costs and length of stay and how families are doing and how babies are doing in hospital, but really, we need to know how these babies are doing when they go home. So we will contact the families when their baby is 2 months old, accounting for the time born early, to check and see how the parents are managing, how the mom is feeling, and then developmentally, how the baby's doing, how many times the baby was sick and needed to go to the hospital again or be readmitted, how many times they had to go to the doctor for unplanned visits and those kinds of things that the families weren't able to manage at home. So we will follow the babies for 2 months. We are hoping for some additional funding to be able to follow those babies at least to about 18 months, because we know that infant development is more stable around 18 months, so we would like to follow them out at least that far and compare the differences in terms of development between the FICARE intervention group and the control groups. The good news with this study is we have enough funding from Alberta Innovates Health Solutions and Alberta Health Services to provide the FICARE intervention at all the control sites if FICARE is more effective at improving outcomes.
I understand that Alberta actually has a very high rate of premature births. Any indications of why that is?
Alberta has the highest rate of preterm births among the provinces. The territories actually exceed our rates of preterm birth. So why Alberta? Well, we have a younger population and they're having a lot of babies. We also have a very highly educated, career-oriented population. Many families are delaying childbearing until their careers are established and they, you know, they feel comfortable to start a family. While it's not specifically related to maternal age, it's often related to, you know, as you grow older, you have greater chances of, you know, illness and those kinds of things. So we use maternal age as a proxy, but the older you get, the more challenges you may have conceiving, the more you may need assisted reproductive technology. With reproductive technology, you'll often end up with twins and triplets, which are often preterm babies. There's a lot of reasons. Preterm birth is actually a multifactorial problem with genetic aspects in some subpopulations and with other kinds of inflammatory explanations in other kinds of preterm birth. So there isn't just one reason. It's pretty complex, and we're just beginning to untangle some of those reasons.
Thank you very much, Karen.
You're very welcome.